September 18th, 2009. We'd like to start off the show by giving a deep round of applause and thank you to Steph Goudet and Mike DeRoche for their contribution to hosting OCAP Radio for the past number of years. They're moving on, and we will be replacing them here at OCAP Radio. I'm Kelly B.
And I'm Kelly Bentley.
So it'll be the Two Kellys show from now on. Tonight we are going to be talking about, firstly, we'll be speaking with Gaetan Hiro. He will be talking about his recent struggle with street health. We'll be moving on to discuss OCAP's powerful demonstration at Metro Hall on Tuesday. And after that, we will be discussing the special TTC demonstration that took place last Saturday outside City Hall. So welcome, Gaetan.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
So you just mentioned, Gaetan, actually, that you thought that your first interview here was 13 or 14 years ago.
Something like that. We've been doing some of these interviews for a long time, and it's actually nice to be here after I guess the struggle that's gone on over the last few years here.
It's nice to have you here too, Gaetan. Sorry to hear about your struggles. So Gaetan is a deeply respected, much loved, and invaluable mentor, leader, and friend in the struggle for dignity and justice for homelessness and poor people in the city. Gaetan, can you tell us about your recent struggle at Street Health?
Well, really, it's a struggle. My struggle just started actually recently on October 9th when six of us from what we call the PAID project wrote a letter to the Street Health Board complaining about what was going on at Street Health in terms of management's attempt, intimidation and harassment of people who were trying to get their first contract at Street Health. That's where my problems, but the problems at Street Health actually started much earlier than that, about 2.5 years, 3 years ago, when many of the employees were having problems, in particular with the executive director, Laura Cowan. And as a result of that, they organized and brought in a union. QP, I think it's 4308, and I've been trying to get a first contract for the last 18 months. They've lost many people since that struggle. I've left the agency, and things kind of came to a head when some of the newer employees attempted to decertify the union. And it was after that some of us began to talk about what was going on. There was a group called Friends of Street Health who got involved and wrote to the Street Health Board asking to meet with them to talk about all the issues. Staff were trying to talk to the board. All that stuff was going on. And it was in the middle of that our letter went to Street Health Board. Now, people should understand that I'm actually not a staff at Street Health. I've been located there for 10 years. I help people replace the identification. But I'm a Neighborhood Link employee. And what it is that Street Health is a partnership with Neighborhood Link. And I'm one staff that's located there. We have other staff located in other locations.
Okay, so let me back up here. So you, the struggle started with an attempt to unionize at Street Health 2 to 3 years ago.
Yes.
And you were supporting the workers at Street Health.
Exactly, yes.
Exactly. And so you and six others wrote a letter?
Yes, we wrote. Now, when the first time that I actually openly spoke out was actually on October 9th when we wrote this letter.
Of this year?
I never was involved in the organizing because I wasn't a staff there. I was very supportive. I never openly took on those issues, although very supportive of the staff. But when all this stuff was going on, we had no choice to speak up because of what was going on. So the letter went out on October 9th. As a result of this letter went to the board. The board, some board member apparently, sent this letter to my employer, Neighborhood Link, to a woman named Mary McGowan. From there, I was told about a day or two later that I had to move from Street Health. And then from there, that was on October 14th, I think. A battle ensued, and I say battle, several meetings with my employer. Ultimately, there's actually been four demonstrations in front of Street Health, a public meeting to talk about what was going on in my situation. And what I did ultimately is I refused to move. Thursday, December the 3rd, Laura Cowan came and asked for the keys. And the next day, on the Friday, Neighborhood Link came and took my computer, took my files, and took all the mail that I had for clients and shipped it out to Victoria Park and Danforth, and with the ultimatum that if I didn't show up the following Monday for work, that I would be fired, and I refused to go, and we can get into those details why I refused to go, but yeah.
And so they were trying to move you to almost in Scarborough, too.
Yeah, it's just on the edge of Scarborough and East York.
Right. And now, are you a unionized employee?
Yes, I do have a union. And they're actually grieving the situation. So what happened after that, actually, is I refused to go. And the main reason I refused to go, and the primary reason I refused to go, is what they were doing is they were allowing me to do identification clinics in the area, which Maxwell, Megan, Fred Victor, and Evergreen, mm-hmm. to continue to do that, which is about 7 hours a week, but the 30 hours where I did administration, I was to do that in over at the Victoria and Danforth office, and I tried to explain to them that those 30 hours, during those 30 hours, I actually saw probably more people than I saw at the clinics, which meant that all of those people that were seeing me at Street Health, because people, I don't know if people know the downtown core, Dundas and Sherbourne, but it has the largest concentration of homeless people, mm-hmm. And also of poor people in terms of social housing. Mm-hmm. Those people need access to me outside of the clinic area. For instance, to get a letter for their welfare worker so they can get their welfare, to get a letter for so they can get housing, that kind of stuff always happens, to pick up their ID even sometimes, mm-hmm. or often. When I tried to argue this with my employer, they refused to discuss it and said, no, we're moving you. And I said, well, I told them on November 23rd, actually, and in writing that I wasn't going to move. And if they tried to move me, I would continue to report to Street Health. So on Monday, December 7th, with my stuff in Victoria and Danforth office, I had no choice but to set up outside Street Health. I had no keys. So I set up a table, a chair, some literature, and for the next 6.5 days, with the help of Brian DeBrogio and Al and a couple of other homeless people, I sat out there talking to many of the people that I knew. I've been there for 21 years, to talk to them about what had happened and why I wasn't going there. And at that point in time, I wasn't fired yet. I was fired the following day.
And what was the community response?
Yeah, I was going to say something.
Well, the response was how should I say this? You have to understand that the dynamic at Street Health for the last 2.5 years has been very, very, a very bad environment. When I was told that I was going to move, it was very surreal. For those 6 weeks up until December 7th, I mean, there were three demonstrations. So what would happen is, nobody would say anything, but then the demonstration would happen outside of Street Health. We'd talk about what was going on. And then I would go back to work inside the agency.
And what was the atmosphere like inside the agency?
Well, it was surreal. I mean, nobody would say what needed to be said. There was no discussion that we could have around this issue. So, yeah.
You said to me, you said earlier, I heard you speaking before this meeting, that you spoke to over 400 people while you were outside of Street Health. And what did those people say, like, about the loss of services and that?
It was
the sense you were getting.
It was an array of things. I mean, one is people were shocked.
Yeah.
That the agency, Neighborhood Link and Street Health would knew this. I mean, people were in shock. They were angry. Everyone understood what this meant in terms of having to trek halfway across the city. They knew why would they do that. Mm-hmm. And for me, the shift, and it was a very, very significant shift, because for the first 2 weeks, I tried internally to deal with this in terms of my employer and to talk about, okay, how do we do this? And when I realized that it wasn't going to work, at that point, I made a conscious decision to go outside the agency and to talk and begin to talk to people who use the service to get them involved in this process. And so for the next month, there were the neighborhood was plastered with posters saying what was going on. And also when I moved outside, because you have to understand, when you're fighting internally, you sometimes begin to question, or am I just being stubborn? Is this not the right thing to do? Mm-hmm. But then the minute I moved outside and the minute I began to talk to people, I understood that yes, and this was the right decision. And they reaffirmed that, and the support was unanimous in terms of what was going on. On the second day, I think we spoke to anywhere between 150 to 200 people outside the agency. 140 of those people signed the petition. There were days there where we were like in minus nine
Yeah.
It was very cold at times and stuff. And then it in the end, you know, last Tuesday at noon, there was a large demonstration that came. Over 75 people came. Many homeless people came. Social workers, activists came. And at that point in time, I talked to Brian and Al and some of the others that had been supporting me all along, who had been actually talking to some of the homeless people, and said, you know, at that point, I think we've made our point. We've talked to people. People now know. And it was really, really important for me, by the way, just to talk to people to say this is happening, because many people had questions, right? Because they would go inside and street health would tell them, well, no, nothing is changing. Mm-hmm. But by being outside and talking to people, people would be able to understand the issue. Also, they were able to participate in terms of, you know, some of them went directly inside the street health and began to talk to Laura. Some of them signed petitions. There was also cards that people signed. So it was very, very important for them. And the story, I think, for me, what I found on the Thursday when I left at 4:30, you have to understand, I've been there 10 years doing this work, like day in and day out. On that day, I handed in my keys at 4:30. I had three bags of stuff that I had in plastic bags. I had a bike that had a flat tire on the back. I had to walk an hour to go home because I couldn't ride my bike because I live just by Bathurst and the lakeshore down there. And as I left, it was really, really depressing. It was really, really depressing in terms of I didn't talk to anybody, although there was staff there who were supportive. I just left. And then the Monday morning when I came in, I set up the table. It felt very, very different. I realized that the support was there. People understood the issue. This is not a complex issue. It's a very simple issue, in terms of the service. Moving a service away that had been there for 10 years, you know, halfway across the city, where people would have to try and jump the TTC, get TTC tickets, would not have access to the service. Everyone understood that did make sense. So that was very simple. The union stuff, it gets a little bit more... what should I say? For some of the people, it gets a little bit more complicated because you have to get into the history of what's going on there and stuff. And yeah.
All right. So what's happening right now is that they're putting more barriers in place for people to be getting ID from the downtown east.
Well, what happened as a result of that is all of the clinics that operated for the last 10 years are shut down. Mm-hmm. Until they can hire somebody. Now the employer.
They're going to replace them. They're going to replace your position with
someone else. Well, they've already put the call out for my position.
Okay.
I am a unionized worker, so there is a grievance that's going to take place and arbitration, hopefully. And but that can take years. So right now I'm actually unemployed. I have to deal with Service Canada on Monday.
Yeah.
But in terms of the actual project, it's created chaos, because now all of the mail, by the way, and up to 1,000 pieces of mail, I think I have pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
People have to look to find their mail. They can go to the clinics to pick that up, but they can't apply for other ID at those clinics. But then now they have to go halfway across town to try and get a hold of the clinic. So it's very chaotic in terms of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And it's a really punitive measures to take for what you view as union solidarity?
Well, it's a very simple thing that happened. Myself and a number of people, not just myself, but a number of people, chose to support, you know, the right of people to organize in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And think that right in an agency like Street Health should have been recognized immediately. It should not be taking 18 months to get a contract. Many other agencies in the area, like Sherburn Center and Passan, apparently, who unionized after Street Health, have contracts right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. So there's something fundamentally wrong that is going on there. Everyone has to know what's going on at Street Health right now in terms of the attempts to break the union, the intimidation, the mass exodus of very, very good staff. So everyone has to understand that's what's going on. As a result of that, services are being lost. And for me, the last thing I have to say in terms of moving to Scarborough, there's nothing wrong actually moving to Danforth. I think people need services in Victoria and Danforth. I think it's important that everyone has services. But my problem is that this is a community I've worked with in for 21 years. By removing me from the downtown core, it removes me away from that community, from the issues of that community, that some of which I understand, but some of which I still don't understand. And the only way I can understand those issues is even when I go for lunch, you know, I walk out and I talk to people, I see people, and people come and talk to me about what's going on. So by removing the service and removing me from there, I lose that contact. I'm being taken away away from a community in which I worked for 21 years, and I think Street Health in particular, which has been there for 23 years, Laura Cowan, should have understood that and should have fought for me to stay there, and she didn't. And the board did not fight for me to stay there and didn't. And my agency refuses to budge.
Can you tell us more about the Friends of Street Health?
Well, the Friends of Street Health was came about as workers began to try and organize and talk to the board about what was going on, and they were meeting a lot of resistance. At first, the board actually, or Street Health, refused to meet with the employers.
And
with the workers.
So Friends of Street Health are workers?
Well, Friends of Street Health are ex-workers. So they are. There's Kathy Hartle, an ex-executive director, and Dylan also was an the first executive director. There were two ex-managers who signed the letter, and then six other ex-staff who actually signed a letter, an open letter to the board, demanding that they address this issue, demanding to meet with the board to talk about what was going on, they refused. The board refused to meet with the Friends of Street Health. Ultimately, as a result of this pressure, they were forced to meet with some of the employees, and that's happened a couple of times. They continued to refuse to meet with the Friends of Street Health. But what happened is, I think it was, I don't know the exact date, about a week ago, there was a public meeting at the John Innes Community Center where over 120 people came out, and actually five of the board members, including the chair, came to the meeting where I spoke, and about six or seven other people spoke, ex-staff, John Andrus also, who is with the TDRC, spoke about what was going on. It was a very, very powerful meeting, actually, I found. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on. And just so people understand the dynamic of everyone, I mean, this is a very, very small community center. Street Health is a very small agency. But everyone knows everybody. Dundas and Sherburn, there are many agencies like Regent Park, Fred Victor Center, Sherburn Center. Everyone knows what's going on in Street Health. Everyone is hearing about what's going on. The city knows that this stuff is going on. This is not in terms of locally, everyone understands that this agency right now is in turmoil in terms of trying to deal with these issues. And for many of us, I think the slogan is, fight for the heart of Street Health. We feel that we're losing that heart, that the direction that Street Health has been or is taking in terms of its attempt to break the union, its intimidation, in terms of how it wants to work in the future in the community, is moving away, so far away from its original roots, which were, I worked with George Barnhart, who was one of the founders of Street Health. I worked with him for 4 or 5 years. I remember David Kidd actually came and talked about, he was one of those people involved at the beginning when Street Health first set up. Barrick German was around when all that funding came around. So there's a lot of history. Street Health is outside of OCAP and maybe TDRC, is probably one of the most important agency in Toronto. And I would say in Canada, in terms of its ability or its allowance to allow workers like Barrick German, Kathy Crow, Kathy Hartle, a whole bunch of people who've come, Danielle Koyama, a whole bunch of people, some LCAP people actually, Sarah Vance, Sue Collis, a whole bunch of people actually have come through Street Health, actually Sue worked with Central Neighbor House, but... Yeah.
Now, I have a quote here that says that with all the people who've been lost at Street Health recently since this union-busting activities, there's been about 50 years of experience of working with street-involved and homeless groups. Is that...
Well, probably more. I think there's an estimate of over 35 people have left the agency over the last... Since these struggles, I found, over the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah, it's really, really just, and some very, very, very dedicated, good staff. And there are some right now who are actually talking about looking for work in terms of because the environment is just intolerable.
In order to move on, now the Friends of Street Health is an alliance of people who are looking to support Street Health from the outside.
Yes,
and their role, they've been helping to organize the demonstrations and the public meetings.
The initiative actually to in terms of going public. I originally the Friends of Street Health were writing to the Street Health Board, and it was internal. Mm-hmm. I think what happened is that when my situation happened, actually, when I was told I had to move, actually OCAP held one of the first ever demonstration in front of Street Health. Now, you have to understand that that OCAP, how should I say, Street Health has a history of actually allowing workers like Barrack German as organized the coalition against police violence, the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee, the Toronto Coalition Against Homelessness. All of those things came out of workers from Street Health who helped form coalitions, who brought in other agencies. I think there was some over 35 agencies involved in Toronto Coalition Against Homelessness mm-hmm. when those three men froze to death in 1996. Those were workers that allowed that to happen. The Street Health was a vehicle to allow that to happen. Those are the kinds of people that you're losing. You're losing that history. You can't allow that to happen. If you lose that kind of commitment and that kind of resistance, and these are people who actually speak about issues, local issues, the gentrification in the neighborhood. OCAP, we use the Street Health Kitchen to cook for our demonstrations.
So the idea of OCAP having to hold demonstrations there really, really puts this in perspective that Street Health appears to be working against the populations at Dundas and Sherbourne.
Well, no one would want that to happen to Street Health. And the fact that this is happening, that there have been four demonstrations in front by three of them by OCAP, one of them by the Friends of Street Health, it should be very, very disturbing. It disturbs me in terms of having to do that. But there are things going on there in terms of that they're very significant. We can't lose that agency.
Absolutely. And Gita, now that, so you worked outside of Street Health for a week last week, and now it's official, you've been fired. Where are you going to go from here?
Well, right now I'm unemployed. I've been unemployed for almost a week. So my main concerns right now is in terms of dealing with Service Canada, which is EI, so I'm going to join
the ranks of the unemployed
in terms of dealing with Service Canada and hope that somehow I can. My claim will go through because I've been dismissed, and it's not always that easy. I have to deal with my union in terms of in terms of making sure that I get the support. And right now, I am getting the support, which is good. And then once that's done, then I have to move on and begin to think about what the future holds. It's a very, very. Toronto is a very, very small scene in terms of social services. It's not easy to find work in some of these agencies. It's particularly not easy to find work in some of these agencies because there are very few agencies that will allow workers to talk about these issues openly.
Absolutely. And now, are there any ideas if people wanted to support you in your struggle and support the unionization efforts at Street Health, where could people go with that?
Well, I think people should first and foremost should contact Laura Cowan and Mary McGowan. Laura Cowan is the ED of Street Health, mm-hmm. and Mary McGowan is the executive director at Neighborhood Link. I think those people should be contacted. They're the ones who can turn things around in terms of my situation, in terms of the union. So that's one thing that people can do. If people need numbers, I think people at OCAP should be able to provide that number, mm-hmm. their numbers. That's first and foremost. And also, I think there will be other events that are being planned in terms of making sure that that the workers. Ultimately, the most important thing here is that that union and Street Health be allowed to take root. I have to admit, when I was working there, I'm watching, and very, very courageous people beginning to organize. And I've watched people like Danielle and Zoe and other people bring in the union, and I watch what's happened to them since then. And I feel that I owe them something in terms of the support, and I think we owe them something. And I know there's a long history of people being blacklisted over the years, all that kind of stuff, trying to organize. And it's really, we should be all be disturbed by the fact that this is happening in one of the most progressive agencies in Toronto.
So Absolutely. And if people were looking to support that struggle, you would point them towards speaking to directly to the ED of Street Health and to friendsofgaetan@gmail.com. Am I correct?
No, Friends of Street Health. I'm not sure what they're... but I think if people contact OCAP, they're probably able to get a hold of me, and I'll direct them to the people.
Okay, thank you very much for coming, Gaetan.
Yeah, and we wish you well in all your...
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Take care.
And now here's a song. Radio here at CKLN 88.1. This has been the first show of Kelly and Kelly. We look forward to the new year, January 1st, where we will be talking about OCAP, the year in review. Up next is Ventana al Barrio with Maria Elena Escobar.
Sometime, what better place than here? What better time than now?